Thanks for joining us on the Future Food Show. On this episode, we're delighted to have Dr. Mark Post. Mark is the scientist behind the world's first cultured burger. As a medical doctor by training and having worked on tissue engineering for vascular grafts, he became massively inspired by the possibility of cultured meat and co-founded Mosa Meat. On this episode, we dive deep into not just his background and Mosa Meat, but we look into the International Scientific Conference on Cultured Meat, or ISCCM, which has been taking place over the last 9 years in Maastricht in the Netherlands. Without further ado, let's jump right in. Thanks for joining us on the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show. It's an honor to have Dr. Mark Post on the show. There's absolutely so much that we could cover on the show with Dr. Post. It could be a whole series within itself, but today we're going to be diving into some special topics. Mark, welcome to the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Mark, tell us a little bit about your background.
I'm a medical doctor by training and did patient care 30 years ago, decided that I didn't really like that. Then moved to academic research, mostly cardiovascular research at different places in the Netherlands, but also in the US at Harvard and at Dartmouth. And then came back to Maastricht University to do cardiovascular research and teaching. I did that up to maybe 3-4 years ago. Gradually during that period, I started to tissue engineer tissues for medical purposes, like blood vessels for bypass surgery. And that evolved into tissue engineering for meat, for the consumer product meat. That kind of spun out of control. And we, in 2013, if you may remember, we launched the first hamburger made from stem cells. So this was the first cultivated meat sample ever. That led to more funding and to more enthusiasm. And in 2016, we started a company called Mosa Meat, which I'm now chief scientific officer of. And that's a full-time job. So I'm affiliated with the university, but I'm no longer working for the university.
So there's been a lot of different profiles about kind of the events leading up to that 2013 tasting. Instead of maybe getting into it on this show, I was wondering what your favorite profile or mention might be. And I will say that I think one of the most popular and deep profiles is, you know, the Clean Meat book by Paul Shapiro. But do you have any kind of favorites or references that you like to point to about kind of how that 2013 tasting came to be?
Yeah, it's a set of serendipitous events, right, as it usually is. It was initially not the plan to do that. We had a scientific project that was funded by the Dutch government, and it was initiated by a guy called Willem van Eelen in the Netherlands. And at the end of that project, the Dutch government said, well, we don't really see any societal interest in this, so let's stop the funding. And that got me really frustrated because I thought this was a great idea. And then Peter and I came up with the idea to make a sausage out of pig cells and have the pig on the stage while we were eating the sausage in front of national or regional television. And fortunately, at some point, like 2 years later or so, or 1.5 years later, Sergey Brin came along and liked that idea. And I said, oh, I'm going to finance that. By the way, you then need to make a hamburger, not a sausage. And that's what we did. So it was born out of that sort of, well, frustration, if you like, that we couldn't get funding for that project anymore. And we needed to generate societal interest. And we never really anticipated that it would start the entire industry.
And it was after that Mosa Meat was officially founded. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we presented the hamburger in 2013, and we founded the company in 2016. The delay had all to do with moving from university to a company and setting the things up and getting funding for the company and that sort of thing.
And I was recently able to stop by and visit Mosa Meat in Maastricht. And it was really, really kind of inspiring to see how far along we have come. I think now there's almost like a Mosa Meat campus, if you will. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it has grown also a lot faster and more than we expected in the beginning. And that is really exciting. It's also necessary because it's still somewhat of a, you know, difficult technology to master. And so you need a lot of people, have a lot of insight to make that happen.
So Green Queen Media is doing, I think, a new profile like on cultivated meat founders. And I think, Mark, you're a part of that series. Is that correct?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. I'm part of the series. Yes.
So we're going to put a link into the show notes for that. But on this episode, I actually want to shift gears and talk about what's upcoming, which is now the ISCCM number 9. And so that stands for International Scientific Conference for Cultured Meat. And so, Mark, you know, this is the ninth year that we're doing this. So I'm guessing that it was after that 2013 tasting that you decided to say, hey, we need a conference about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And this obviously is not a one-man show. It's a lot of effort from a lot of people. There's a lot of science involved, still a lot of fundamental science and also applied science. So I felt there needed to be a forum where the scientists working on this could just meet and discuss the scientific advances among each other. And also because, you know, it's an endeavor that is of such societal importance that it's really required that people share and exchange information. The other reason for the scientific conference was also to give the floor to young scientists who are interested in this field and who have data to present and give them the opportunity to present to whomever wants to listen to it. So it was set up and it still is as a traditional scientific conference where abstracts are being submitted. Of course, there are keynote speakers that are selected by the scientific advisors and the scientific organizing committee, but there's also a lot of abstracts that are submitted by young researchers who want to share their data.
What was that first conference like? You know, how many people showed up? Was it, you know, did it hit your expectations? And if I'm correct, this was then before Mosa Meat was even founded, right?
Yeah, that's true. It was initiated while I was still working for the university. And the initial conference, this was at a time when not really a lot of people were working on cultivated meat yet. But still, the first conference had somewhere between 80 and 100 registrants. And that was really a small crowd, very interactive, very helpful. And it was actually a great start of the whole series. Much more improvisational also, because, you know, with a small crowd, you can be a little bit more flexible. Now it's more organized and more strict and more sort of time scheduled because, yeah, it has become just a larger crowd and more packed with information.
And at the time, I you know, there wasn't really too much like this at all. I think maybe there had been one or two one-off types of conferences that had like a cultured meat segment. You know, New Harvest had officially been founded, but it was not, you know, hosting conferences or anything like that. So who were some of those original attendees?
Well, for instance, you mentioned Paul Shapiro was there, Bruce Friedrich was there, and at that time, GFI was also not founded yet. It was, or when if it was founded, it was only Bruce, and now they have over 200 people. Some of the local people working on cultivated meat, especially in that scientific consortium that we had worked in, both from the technical side, but also from the consumer acceptance side. So from the very beginning, it was set up as not only a wet lab technical scientific conference, but also a social science part of it. And that combination may sometimes make it for people tough, but I think it's also very charming that we have those two extremes of research and really cover the entire range of the subjects that should be covered for cultivated meat. So at that time, also people already from Supermeat were there. Supermeat was in Israel. The chicken company had already started, and they were there and they sponsored. And so, yes, really the people who were the very, very first in this industry were all present at that conference.
I want to ask you about Maastricht in general as a city. And if I'm correct, the name Mosa is actually related to the city of Maastricht. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's true. So Maastricht is actually the Dutch sort of translation of the Latin Mosa Trajectum. And Mosa is the Latin name of the river that runs through, which is now called the Maas or La Meuse in French, because it originates in France. So when we had to come up with a name for the company Mosa Meat, Peter and I, so my co-founder and I, were traveling back from a business school event at Harvard, and we were passing the Charles River. And when we came up with, we were thinking about the name in the bus, I said, okay, let's call this Mosa Meat, because I wanted it to have a regional reference to, you know, where we are, hence the name Mosa Meat. And I have been from the beginning, I guess, I had the intention to have this conference in Maastricht and to keep it in Maastricht, which is a little bit unusual, perhaps, but there are a couple of reasons why I prefer this. One is that I don't have to travel myself, which is always good. But more importantly, I think if you have a central place where you go to every year, you know how to get there, you know where to, you know, stay in which hotel, you don't have all those additional stresses of the traveling, and you can really focus on the conference. At some point, you don't have to do a lot of sightseeing or social programs because you have seen it all, and you can really focus on the program, and that's the intention.
I remember the first time I was in Maastricht, I did see the word Mosa on, you know, different buildings and things like that. And I remember thinking, wow, these guys have grown so fast. Right. but then realized it's, you know, maybe like a automotive company or different engineering companies that were not related to Mosa Meat.
So no, not true. We were not the only ones, you know, being so creative to add the name Mosa to our company. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this upcoming conference, and it's taking place on October 15th through 17th. And the traditional format usually starts, you know, with a Sunday and then two jam-packed conference days. Tell us about what we're expecting for this year.
Well, you know, the setup is indeed quite the same as previous years. So we have a very exciting opening lecture by Ali Kadam Hosseini, who leads the Terasaki Institute and is one of the foremost tissue engineers in the world, and recently started his own cultivated meat company. This was one of the other goals of the conference, is to draw in people from adjacent areas, mostly medical tissue engineering or biomaterials or cell culture, that are not the people who are not working on cultivated meat yet, but have technologies that are applicable to cultivated meat. So Ali is a prime example of that. Initially, he was just doing his medical tissue engineering and got word of using this for cultivated meat and got kind of captivated by that idea. And now most of his time he's spending on the company. Then we have new subjects. There is a professor from Israel who talks about antibiotics and get rid of antibiotics in cell culture. There is a new senior scientist, just got his PhD, Andrew Stout, whom I know very well, who is talking about his endeavor to make serum-free a medium, but also to make cells less dependent on, for instance, growth factors. So he's more in the medium and the cell biology area. And as always, we have a social program where people are talking about sort of the societal issues, consumer acceptance, but also regulatory issues. And so we're very happy that Jan Dutkiewicz is a new addition to our scientific committee. He replaced Chris Bryant, who has been doing the social science part of the conference for the last couple of years. And now John Dutkiewicz has followed him up, and he basically assembled a very nice session, very good session on social sciences.
And I want to track back to how important actually consumer acceptance is in a scientific conference, because it is really research focused. And you oftentimes, when it comes to consumer acceptance, you have a lot of opinions weighing in, where at ISCCM, it's kind of like all cards on the table. And there are oftentimes folks that are maybe optimistic, but also realistic. And they'll say, yeah, it's going to take more time. It's going to take more research. But that's kind of what I love about ISCCM, is that it is so focused on the scientific aspect.
Yeah, and that's really what we are trying to achieve, to get a balanced view and based on the facts and on the findings, and not on, you know, opinions or projections. So it's really sort of rooted in the science that underlies this. And I think we also are reasonably good in not shying away from inviting people who have opposing opinions and opposing ideas, who challenge the entire concept. Because I think those discussions are necessary to move this field forward. And so I really like, and of course I'm biased, but and there's always some preference for people who support cultivated meat. But we do allow voices also that, yeah, are quite the opposite. It's okay, I see a lot of problems here. How are you going to deal with that?
I wanted to ask you, you know, what is something that is not really being mentioned enough in this field? You know, what is something in the field of cultivated meat that maybe we're not talking about enough? Anything come to mind?
Well, there are a couple of things, and I think two of the ones we now centered panel discussions on. One is, you know, should we be using GMO to facilitate the process of cultivating meat? And from a technical perspective, it would make our life easier. From a consumer acceptance perspective and maybe regulatory perspective, it may be something that we want to do without. So that is an item that needs to be discussed, and that will be discussed for us if we don't do it ourselves. So I think this is an important part, and these are the sort of controversial issues that I think are very suitable for panel discussions. And the other one is, we're now seeing a number of products on the market, which in itself is great. However, those are not the products that we initially intended. My feeling is that we are still somewhat away from, you know, a hamburger that we envisioned in 2013 that is solely made out of cultivated muscle and cultivated fat. We are seeing products that have cells as an ingredient, and even not a very high level ingredient, and also cells that are just cells but are not being differentiated into muscle tissue or fat tissue. And this is also a subject I think that should be discussed. I don't have a particular opinion about this, but our original idea, of course, was different, to really make muscle tissue that is exactly the same as muscle tissue that you get out of a steak, and fat tissue that is exactly the same. And some of the early products right now are quite different from that. And they may have a role. They probably do have a role. But I think those aspects just need to be discussed and be out in the open. And that's also why we organized the panel around that discussion.
Do you think that it could be, I guess, you know, maybe even use a word as strong as detrimental to the industry, if there are products that are coming out labeled as cell cultivated, but they have, you know, less than, you know, 5 to 10% of cultured cells in them? Do you think that's a risk for the industry?
It can be a risk. So far, this has not panned out yet, which is lucky, which is good. But it can be a risk. That my personal feeling, but I don't want to, you know, be ahead of that discussion, is that the place for cultivated meat is one that has to replace meat. And you can also do that with plant-based products, but cultivated meat has to offer something extra because it's more complex and initially more expensive than plant-based. So it has to add something extra. And that, from my perspective, needs to be of nutritional value and also of a perception value in terms of bite and taste of the meat without, you know, adding a lot of ingredients that replicate that. So it could be detrimental because it's obviously somewhat of a vulnerability at the moment, but so far that hasn't really panned out yet.
Interesting. And I'm really excited to really see what the community thinks about it at the upcoming ISCCM. As we begin to wrap up, I wanted to ask you about the foundation that was created for the conference. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how it has become officialized over the years?
Yeah. So initially, this was a conference that was organized out of the University of Maastricht, which was they handled all the sort of financial affairs, the accounts and things like that. 2 years ago, they decided to stop that, which was somewhat unfortunate. This is from the very beginning a nonprofit activity. There was never any goal whatsoever to make money out of this. That's why we always kept the registration fees quite low. And of course, also thanks to sponsoring, we were able to do that. So given that it's a nonprofit, the only other way I could do it was to start a foundation, which is called the ISCCM Foundation, with the sole purpose of administering and doing the accounting for the conference. So this now acts as a sort of financial center, if you like, and we can handle all the administration through the foundation. The foundation is a nonprofit. We are trying to get it a tax-free foundation, but we are still working on that. Of course, we had to have a board. The board members are, I'm the chair. We have a law professor, a food law professor as a member of the board, and my previous secretary and treasurer, Vivian Schelling, is also a board member. And with the three of us, we run the foundation. But again, the sole purpose and actually the sole activity of the foundation is to organize the conference.
We'll put additional information into the show notes about how you can learn more about the foundation. Sponsorship opportunities are still available for 2023 and beyond. So if you're listening to this after 2023, there's still opportunities to get in touch. I will say last year, I remember, I think it was after the conference, I just took a walk around the city and I was crossing this bridge, which I think was only at like a pedestrian and like biking bridge. And you know, this was one of the moments where I look back on the year and I kind of just stopped and it was just by myself and I was looking around. The air was crisp and it was just a very beautiful city. So if you haven't been to Maastricht, definitely check it out. There's also some really cool photos on the ISCCM website. Mark, as we were wrapping up, I wanted to ask you if you have any last insights for our listeners today.
If you have a chance to visit us in Maastricht, please do so. I think this is a unique conference. If you're interested in the science and also if you want to get sort of the scientific backing of the whole endeavor.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
This is your host, Alex, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.